You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Harry Winks right to the last. Dele Alli. Lamela. To Dombele. Stuck in the back.
Hugo Lloris. And he saved it.
And the bounds. Shevchenko.
Son on a mission to go alone.
This is sensational. World class. Absolutely stunning from the Asian footballer of the year.
Stevie Wonder. Stevie Bergwijn.
Looking for Kane. That's what Harry Kane can do to you. Here's Lucas Moura. Oh, they've done it! I cannot believe it!
Hello and welcome to The Last Word on Spurs. We hope you're keeping very safe and well. We're back for our second show of the week. A reminder, if you've not listened to us before, you can find us on iTunes, on Spotify, or on Audioboom. We're across all major audio platforms. We're also across social media. We're on Twitter at Last Word on Spurs. We're on Facebook and Instagram too. And I said, we're back for our second show of the week. Been a busy, busy week as a Tottenham fan. A friendly to review, a couple of departures, a signing, and the ongoing transfer speculation. So who else best equipped to join me than, I would say, making his return? It feels like it's been a while on this show. The wonderful, crazy train instructor himself, hopefully driving us to trophies next season, Mr. Lee McQueen's in the house. Lee, how are you?
Yo, yo, yo. How are you getting on, Rick? And my our other amazing guest, which I'll let you reveal in a second. All of the listeners, really, really pleased to be back. Don't worry, people. I know Twitter can be absolutely, up and down, up and down. You know, 1 minute he's signing, the next minute he ain't signing. Chill out. I reckon Paratici's got us covered. Don't you worry about that.
You're not talking about Tomiyasu, are you, Lee? Is this the one you are?
We could be talking about 40,000 people, the amount of people we've been in.
I tell you what, Jason McGovern's absolutely loving Tuto Mercato, Calcio Mercato, you name it, Mercato's in it.
Big Bombers Weekly, as Jason would say. Big Bombers Weekly, it's all going on.
Tell you what, for a club that's in the Europa Conference League, that hasn't stopped the links coming by. So we'll be covering some of those off as we go throughout the show. And Lee's teed it up. So we've got to welcome back the wonderful Jamie Brown from the Daily Hotspur. His fingers have been pushing those buttons in terms of transfers coming. Jay, not much at the moment, just a lot of abuse on social media when it comes to one we're trying to get over the line at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, obviously always very, very stressful. I mean, on and off the pitch with Spurs. This time, unfortunately, it's off the pitch and it's with Christian Romero. Very, very stressful, trying to get that one over the line. But, on the pitch yesterday, I was able to get back to a football game for the first time since the first lockdown. So that was really nice to go into to Milton Keynes and watch Spurs play. So I really enjoyed it last night. It was really good to see Spurs back in a live stadium. So, you know, really nice to kind of return to some sort of normality. So
good atmosphere really down there as well, wasn't it?
Say again?
Jamie, it was a good atmosphere down there as well, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Quite a lot of Spurs fans there, 6,000 or so.
Yeah, I mean, the Spurs fans sold out their 4,000 allocation, you know, and it was, yeah, very good kind of energy and vibes from the Spurs fans yesterday. Good atmosphere, so yeah, really enjoyable kind of game yesterday.
That's where we're going to start first, Jason. Thanks for teeing it up. Lee, let's come to you because Spurs did make it two wins in three preseason games so far under Nuno Espirito Santo as we travelled to Milton Keynes and defeated MK Dons by 3-1. Heung-min Son Dele Alli and Lucas Moura were the goal scorers. And although the Portuguese manager made 8 changes in the game, the new Spurs team does seem to be showing, that's very early for me to say this, cue the laughs, there seems to be some form of a little bit of identity coming through now, I thought. You know, some nice moves, some interchanges as well. What did you make of the overall game? Pretty much not much to take from a pre-season game. But I suppose happy with the result, all good to be winning.
You were trying to get hashtag Nuno ball trending yesterday, weren't you, Rick?
We were having a go. We've got to try and give it a go.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's pretty pleasing. I think, you know, at the end of the day, I know we're getting to transfers, listeners. So don't tell me that I've said something's pleasing, then you're all going mad for transfers. We'll get there, I'm sure. But no, I think it's pretty pleasing. I think what pleased me the most is some of the intricacies, some of the balls we've been hearing about what Skip can do at Norwich, and some of us have seen it and some of us haven't. I know Alistair Gold, friend of the show, was talking about it before, about the pings that he has on him. And wow, we saw that again yesterday, didn't we? You know, some fantastic balls that he's been spraying about, and some fantastic goals as well. You know, I think that, you know, the same 3 goal scorers from the previous game all scored again yesterday. So getting some confidence. I think it's absolutely fantastic to see Lucas Moura getting some joining in terms of goals and assists and ball, through balls and that sort of stuff. Son's just Son. I mean, he just looks so happy to be at Tottenham. Fantastic that he signed that new contract, and he's just, you know, loving life, which is very, very important. Going back to my days when I coined the phrase of getting a haircut and having a smile on your face, and these little things make a difference, right? You know, if your home life's not right, or, you know, if something's not quite right in your working life, it makes a huge difference in and around. Are you going? Are you not going? It's very, very tough. So for Sonny to be there scoring goals, happy to be there, potentially 10 years at football club, amazing. And of course, you know, one person I've always championed on this show and everywhere on social media as well is Dele Alli. I think he looked absolutely banging in pre-season in terms of his fitness regime. I think I posted he looks ripped to pieces. He looks absolutely banging in the away shirt as well. He looks awesome. I'm loving that kit, by the way, listeners. Absolutely loving it. And scoring another goal with the captain's armband on yesterday against his former club. So for me, you know, things are going in the right direction. To be fair, and I've got to make a quick, and I'm sure you're referencing, but Alfie saving the penalty as well. So, like, happy days. You know, sometimes these pre-season friendlies, the goalkeepers don't really get to do much and show what they can do. But he did that well yesterday as well. And another, you know, I think one for the cameras, wasn't it? Another save late on in the game. But yeah, no, I think, you know, we've done well and we got the result. And it's all about fitness and getting game time, isn't it, in your legs nowadays, isn't it, lads?
Totally agree. Jay, you had the pleasure of being there. Mm. It's great to have you there. So obviously great to have you on the show to kind of review this, because it was not only a special even because we had some of our star players back, the likes of Sergio Reguilon also in the squad, but also because, as Lee mentioned, we had that new and unpredictable away kit making its first appearance. Yeah. Give us your thoughts on that. And also, Lee referenced it there. You know, I've got to say, it was a bit of a shaky start to the game, I must add. Bit of a shaky start. And to be fair, you know, MK Dons had the chance to go ahead. Good save from Alfie Whiteman, homegrown goalkeeper. That would have given the world of confidence, wouldn't it? I mean, like I say, getting that save. And what did you think of his overall performance and Spurs in general?
So I think on MK, I thought they were pretty poor yesterday, actually. I think there was a lot of times they did try to go forward. So as much as obviously we did, you know, good performance, we got the win. I think MK were very poor yesterday, it has to be said. But I think from a Spurs perspective, I think going forward, there was lots to kind of be excited about. Obviously, in terms of the options we've got now with Lucas Moura, be a very interesting one. I think he's a guy that we can see. He's got so much talent, his ability to play in a number of different roles. He can play number 10, he can play wide positions. And yesterday we saw kind of a different string to his game in terms of being able to create chances and those fantastic through balls. I think his assist for Son's first goal was fantastic. And I think he kind of showed that towards the end under Jose Mourinho and towards the end of the season, where he kind of played in the number 10 role. So I think I've kind of said I'd maybe look to move Lucas Moura on, because he's a player that, you know, that can generate good money to go and reinvest. But he hasn't actually really impressed me during pre-season. So I think that's maybe a stance I'd reevaluate. He looked really promising yesterday. Steven Bergwijn was someone that really struck me in terms of on the ball and kind of his work rate. He worked really hard, was really good at kind of running at players, but he's a player that's definitely very short of confidence in front of goal. So I think if he can kind of get that, then I think we've got a really good player there, because as I said, he's just lightning quick. It was just fantastic to watch yesterday and running at players. So hopefully if he can get that confidence and he can produce the, you know, some end product, then we've got another very good player there. Sonny, of course, fantastic. Dele, it'd be interesting to see kind of how he gets on. As Lee said, I think he's, you know, he's going in the right direction now. I think it was good that he accepted that it was his fault, that he's not been in the right direction, and he's kind of taken accountability for that. I think we know a lot of people blame Jose Mourinho for his kind of dip in form, but I think that even dated back to under Poch. So I think he has to take some of the blame, and this summer he's looked like he's working really hard. So fingers crossed we can have a big season from him. But yeah, I thought it was a good performance, but it was against the poor MK side. So it'll be interesting to see kind of in a week's time or so, when we play tougher opposition, how we get on. But there was, you know, there was moments during the game where you could see some really nice patterns of play of where we were playing nice football. So there's some promising signs there for sure.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. We've seen some images on social media where we've seen Nuno employ this tactical ball now, actually fixed to the ground, do I say, in the actual Spurs changing room. So I think, you know, already slowly Nuno's starting to get maybe his imprints on the club, which is great, because ultimately with a new man coming in, you want to make sure those players are buying into the new philosophy. And listen, I'm not going to get too carried away. It's three games in. We did try Nuno ball. Let's hope it's, you know, successful. Lee, coming around to you, we're going to give him a quick mention. Heung-min Son, though, that front three, to be fair, in that first half was causing all sorts of danger, has to be said. And Jamie said there, maybe MK Dons wasn't really the most toughest opposition to face. But 9 minutes before the half, Sonny recorded his second goal of the pre-season. I've loved a little dink chip over the MK Dons goalkeeper. Lee, all you can ask Son at this stage to do is score the goals. Harry Kane, obviously, you know, his future at the moment is up in the air. Even more so, the reason why we need Son to have a decent pre-season going into that first game against Manchester City.
Yeah, absolutely. I mentioned him before. I think it's fantastic to have him there. I think he puts a smile on everyone else's faces. It's impossible. Even the hardest of Arsenal fans, for example, probably still really like Son. You know, it's so difficult not to like the guy. You know, from a Tottenham's perspective, he absolutely loves the club. He's so happy, like I said before, he's so happy to be here. And it's shown on the pitch, you know. When you're happy, when you're settled, when you're loving it, you see it on a pitch. And, you know, he puts balls away. And, you know, I think he had one just before that, didn't he? That was ruled offside. It was a fantastic finish. Another fantastic ball coming through from midfield. So, look, I think that, you know, it is important that he's firing on where he is. And I know that we've got, and we'll talk about him, I'm sure, but we've got Brian Gill to come in, who typically plays on the left-hand side. And obviously that's where Sonny's playing. There's been rumours. There's been a lot of rumours, isn't there, listeners? Who knows what's going on? But there's been a lot of rumours about Nuno wanting to play potentially two up front. Does Son go up there with Kane? Does Kane leave? You know, do we bring in another striker? Is Danny Ings coming? Like, all of these questions, I'm sure, we'll get asked. But the point I'm making is that we've got some different types of options. Bergwijn can play down the left, he can play down the right, he can go through the middle. You know, Lucas Moura can play down the right, go through the middle. Son can switch either sides. You've got Brian Gill's coming to the side, who typically goes down the left. So, you know, you've got Sergio Reguilon and Brian Gill playing down the left-hand side with each other, would probably be, as a partnership, would probably be something that we may see. So, definitely some options. And like I said, look, it's all about getting match fit. The biggest problem that I can see, and not only with Tottenham, actually, probably not as bad as after the World Cup, is pre-season training for all the top clubs. They've got hardly their players back. Hardly anyone's been in pre-season training at all. So, you know, for us to have the squad that we've got out, I mean, we haven't even seen Kane, obviously. We ain't seen Tanguy. We ain't seen Højbjerg. We ain't seen Lo Celso. We ain't seen Sessegnon. We ain't seen Hugo Lloris. You know, probably the list goes on and on and on. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah, Sonny's fantastic for us, and it was another good performance.
Jay, coming over to you. Dele Alli. Now, a player that I think you said on our last pod, Jay, that you'd be open if there was an offer to come in for Dele. You would maybe consider it. It wouldn't take long for him to join the party in this game. He sealed, you know, the 2-0 with a lovely, actually nice individual move played with Lucas involved as well. Dele was the captain, obviously, for the day, playing that midfield three along with Niles John, Oliver Skipman was really impressive. He actually even got a standing ovation from the stadium when he came off for Harvey White with 15 minutes to go. I mean, what do you make of him so far, Jay? He started both of Nuno's first two games in charge, those threads against Leighton Orient and Colchester, which he has scored in, and on Wednesday he even handed the captain's armband. Whilst it was only a friendly, I just wonder, has there been an element of trust put in him at a very early stage here? Because he's not disappointing so far. He's been at the heart of most good things for Tottenham in pre-season. Is there the second coming of Deli that we've all been hoping and craving for?
I think the big thing is having a new manager and having a manager like Nuno. I think that'll be interesting to see kind of how he works with a manager like that. I think under Jose Mourinho, as much as I said, Dele Alli had to take a lot of the blame. I just don't think that that kind of Dele Alli's personality and Jose Mourinho's personality, I just don't think that was a very good kind of match. So I'll be interested to see kind of how he gets on under a new manager, in a manager like Nuno, who's very much a guy who's good at very good at coaching individual players, at bettering players. So it'll be interesting to see kind of how he develops under a new manager. There's a number of things with Dele. I think it'll be interesting to see whether if we do play a 4-3-3 or we do play three at the back, there obviously won't be that number 10 role for him. And that's something that he's definitely left to kind of be desired in the past, where he's really struggled to play in different roles. I think number 10 is very much his only role that he can play. So I think trying to show a bit of being able to adapt to different formations and playing in different positions, that's something he'll need to show this season. But it's been interesting to see kind of how he's been getting on during pre-season and the work that he's been putting in. It's obviously been very clear that he wants to try and get back on track, and he knows that he's made mistakes in the past and that he needs to work harder. So I think as Spurs fans, we all desperately want to see him back to his best. It would just be interesting to see whether he can actually do that. I think sometimes with players, they obviously have this fantastic career. And then for one reason or another, something goes wrong during their career, and something has gone wrong for Dele. So be interesting to see whether he can get over that. I know there's been lots of players that have had, as I said, had those moments in their careers, and they've just failed to kind of recover from that. So I'd absolutely love to see Dele Alli recover from this, but you know, we'll have to see. It's a massive season for him, and I think this is probably the last year that I'd give him to get back to his best. Otherwise, you know, maybe then I'd be, you know, then it would be started getting a bit worrying for me.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. Listen, this is now the third season coming where we're expecting Dele Alli, the Dele Alli that we know, to come back in a Spurs shirt. Fingers crossed. You know, you have to say, I think as a club and as a fan base, I think we've been very, very patient with Dele. I really do. And despite what's gone on, a lot of changing of managers, I still think there's a player in there. Let's come around to you, Lee, for a second, because we have got a question on Dele. This is from Teng Boom, number one, who says, can we talk about Dele's performance wearing that captain's armband and how absolutely ready he is to step up this season? How is he, you know, in terms of how he's looking? Very early, Lee, we can't get too carried away. It's only pre-season, but are you excited by Dele you've seen so far?
Yeah, I'm excited by the attitude that Jamie touched upon earlier. I'm excited by the fact that he realises that he had to do more. You know, everybody points at Luke Shaw and Jose Mourinho and says, yeah, you know, Jose Mourinho is an absolute nightmare. He was had a shocker with Luke Shaw, this, that and the other. And Jose Mourinho doesn't care about, you know, what the media or what people's perceptions is of Jose Mourinho. But actually, you can now say that Luke Shaw is probably one of the best left-backs in the world. And Jose Mourinho would be taking credit for that, because if it wasn't for Jose Mourinho telling him he needs to work harder, he needs to buck up his ideas, all of the things that might or might not have happened, Luke Shaw might not have changed. He might not have stepped up. Same situation with Dele. Do you see what I'm saying? So there's two sides to it. I'm not saying I agree with that or not. You know, Luke Shaw went through horribleness and, you know, he's come out the other side, and only he has done that. So I'm giving Luke Shaw the credit, just to be clear. And I'm also giving Dele Alli the credit. But what I'm saying is, sometimes, you know, in your career, whatever you do, you have to go through adversity. You have to go through bad times. You have to understand the real rubbish in order to appreciate the good and realise, actually, I've got to do something different. Or maybe, you know, that's where you start to learn. That's what experience is, by the way, listeners and everybody else. That is what it is. So I'm hoping, I'm excited for him. He looks ripped. He looks ready. He looks fantastic. He's got a new chance under a new management coaching system and structure. You know, I think he will fit into a system that Nuno plays rather than under Jose, who is worried if does he even fit in. I think the biggest challenge that he's got, and rightly so, with the other lads as well, is you've got a Lo Celso there, you've got a Moore that can play in the hole, you've also got a Tingo and Dembele that all need to step up, right? And this is the big IF, right? The big if they step up, if they play to their potential, if they do what they're meant to be doing, we have got a bit of a frightening front line. I think Bergwijn, again, everybody is saying, like, you know, Joe say this and Joe turned him into a defender. But what happens now, if he gets his confidence back, as Jamie said earlier, with the work rate that he's now got, he could be absolutely phenomenal. And this is the thing. So I think that it is down to them. It's down to the players. It's down to them. And I think Dele knows that. I think Dele is going to make it. I think he can make a massive impact again in Premier League football. You've got to remember that this guy scored and assisted all them goals, you know, way before breaking all these records at Frank Lampard, Steve Giles. I know everyone's heard the narrative before, but it's true. So let's give him another shot. And if he doesn't do it this season, then, yeah, maybe it's time to go. I think he's on a 3-year contract left on his contract as well. So I think
he's still a number of years to run.
Still got an opportunity to get a really good shift out of him this season.
Lee, just sticking with you, because Jamie's already brought it up. Lucas Moura scored to record his second goal of pre-season. I think also his couple of assists as well so far. He's made a really impressive start, as Jay also aligned to there. I mean, it's funny because he would have been one of those players in the summer that maybe if we received a crazy offer, you maybe would have considered it. You know, I wonder now, because he has had a really good start to pre-season. What do you think, Lucas Moura? Is he in your, I'd say, first team squad plans as such?
I'm not sure. I mean, look, to be fair to Lucas, he had a good finish to the season as well. I think under Ryan Mason and previous to that under Jose, he started popping up and doing the things that not that we want him to be doing, but what he should be doing. I think, you know, come on. This is a guy that scored a hat-trick in the Champions League semi-final. We all know the story. But is he still, you know, you can't dine out on that. Although I'm still dining out on winning The Apprentice, right? Back in the day. So maybe you can. But, you know, I think at the end of the day, he's got to start doing the things that he's in the team to do. And it's not just about running around. We've had enough of that with Eric Lamella, right? You know, you got to start making massive impacts and massive inroads into the game. And he has done that. He scored a hat-trick against, obviously, Ajax. He scored a hat-trick, another hat-trick. Huddersfield. I think I kept thinking Hull. I was at the game as well. And it's a brilliant finishes. And, you know, he scores headers. He's got a spring he's like a springbok, isn't he? Like, jumps up and he hangs in the air, and he scored a header like that the other day. And so he's got the talent, you know, there's no doubt about it. But you can't just have him in the side just to track back and nick the ball on the halfway line so you can do a springer counter-attack. He's got to do more than that. He's got to dribble. He's got to, you know, he scored a great free kick in the FA Cup last year. You know, he's got to take more responsibility, I think. Say, look, I'll have that ball. Let me have a go. Let me take the game by the scruff of the neck. If he was pressing me for a starting position, I think from an experience perspective and what you get from him, yeah, you probably end up starting him depending on the signings that we get coming through the door. But, you know, if you're telling me that you're going to start Brian Gill versus Lucas Moura in the first game of the season, you probably start Moura, don't you?
Possibly. Yeah, I do agree. Just to kind of finish up on this, we did see academy players Maxim Patoski, Toby Omol, Dane Scarlett, Troy Parrott, Megan Falakai, Walcott, Jack Clark and White all come on, but really failed to make an impact on the game itself. We saw Tanganga start at centre-back, who's currently being linked with a move to Galatasaray, although we understand his preference would be, if it is a loan, a move into a Premier League club. So one to keep an eye on. His performance, I would have encouraged Nuno, but as Jamie said, tougher test lie ahead for Spurs before the season rolls around. We've got friendlies to come against, I don't know if you call these friendlies really, against London rivals Chelsea and Arsenal in the pipeline. I wonder if there'll still be mind games as we get these games underway. I tell you, from a mental perspective, you just wonder, these will be games that as fans going into it, we're going to want to see them win. You know, no such things are friendly against Arsenal and Chelsea, boys. I don't know if you agree on that. It's really, really important. But we are going to go for our first break of the show. Taking you into this break, we're going to hear from Heung-Min Son reflecting post-match against MK Dons, and also from Nuno Espirito Santo, who gives us his thoughts on the back of Spurs' pre-season victory there. And then when we come back, is discussion about Toby Alvaro. Don't go anywhere. We're back after this very, very short break.
Congratulations on another brilliant performance and congratulations on your first month in charge. How are you finding it?
It's been good. It's been good hard work, especially for the boys. Again, today they did well. I think they worked very hard, well organized, and there were some good movements, the way they moved the ball, the speed of the lines and the possession was good. But we're preparing, we are building, and good things to correct, always about that.
We were very impressed, you know, in terms of the attack in play. It was lovely to watch with the front four, particularly in the first half, the way they were interchanging. You must have been very pleased with that.
Yeah, that's what I mentioned. And things trying to reproduce what they do in the training sessions. I think we must trust the talent that we have to give them the ability to express themselves. And that's the way we want it.
So pleased Lucas scored tonight because he's been fantastic in pre-season. He's created chances, he's got assists. He was always going to score, wasn't he, once he went through on that chance at the end there?
Yeah, that's all about. If you have a chance, you have to put it. No, we had more. I think that character of put the ball inside of the net is necessary, because if you can score more goals, the better you feel, the more confident you become, and more growing and more pleasing for the next day. So it's about that. Every chance you make, we have to put it inside.
So we'll next see you at open training. I know you're looking forward to that,
aren't
you?
Yeah, it will be good. And I hope many fans can join us and support the boys. It will be a moment of togetherness, and the boys will feel fantastic. And it's a beautiful stadium, so I invite everybody to join us.
Absolutely. Nuno, thank you so much.
Thank you,
and we can't
pleasure,
wait
sir.
To see you at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium.
Nice to see you.
Thank you, Nuno.
Take care, Nuno.
Thank you very much. Obviously, it's been. I couldn't wait. Finally signed the paper, and I say already before, you know, it's already honor to play this kind of big clubs, and I just want to continue. And then, one wish. I have one wish to the fans, and the fans keep supporting us as amazing, like been for many years. We will work hard as possible to make you proud and happy.
Sully, you're talking about the fans. You've been waiting for this moment, haven't you? 6,000 of them in there tonight.
Yeah, it's incredible. I mean, I spoke already a few times, and we miss them. We play for them, and football is about all the fans, you know, not only about players. Obviously, I'm grateful that that fans are back to the stadium. And I couldn't wait, and I really enjoyed it today, and also week before in Colchester, I really enjoyed it. I can't wait to play on our beautiful stadium.
Sonny, just tell us a little bit about your goals in pre-season and your assist as well for Delhi, because it looked like you really enjoyed that one.
I mean, I'm always enjoying with playing these amazing players like Delhi, Stevie, or Lucas. Whoever plays, I really, really enjoy play with them, and we understand really well. We've been here working really, really hard for the pre-season. Obviously, I only played two games, but it's been really positive. The guys is working hard, make us proud, and then fans proud, and obviously it's a pre-season. We can't be always happy, but I think the energy is there, the positive is there, is there. So, yeah, it's not long to go to the season start. So I hope we can get a strong start and positive start.
Sonny, some of this forward play between the four of you has been really impressive already. You've snapped straight back into it, haven't you?
I think what I said before. I think we've been holiday, but we know how to play, and we understand each other really, really well. So it's been only 6 weeks away, or 6 weeks, 7 weeks away. We don't forget this memory. So I've been here almost. Now this is my 7 years.
Nice one, Sonny!
Look at this guy. We've been here, I've been almost here 7 years, so we understand just really, really well.
And Sonny, just finally, just tell us what it's going to feel like now to go up another level. We obviously play Chelsea away, and then you're going to get to experience a full stadium again at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. Just tell us how excited you are for that.
I mean, obviously it's a pre-season still. I think some of the guys is still not here. Yeah, we will try to be positive. We will try to get our fitness back. And yeah, this is sharpness. I think this is most important for the preseason. I mean, we're working really hard and to be fit for the season, not fit for the preseason. So obviously, so now it's coming the big games against Chelsea and then against Arsenal. So we're looking forward to play against them. But obviously, we want to push higher as possible to make us start easy for the season.
Sonny, it was a pleasure to watch you again tonight. Thank you so much for joining us and good
luck
for the season.
Thank you very much, guys.
See you again soon.
Bye. What a
legend. Hello and welcome back to The Last Word on Spurs. Now, if you've been listening to the show for the last three and a bit years, you would have noticed that we actually did a massive, massive tribute to Jan Vertonghen. And it's funny because I always thought at the time with Toby, we probably would do the same to Toby. But I think it's right to have this discussion here and now, and whatever happens in the future regards to future pods, let's see where they come, because we are saying goodbye to one of, I reckon, in my time watching Tottenham, one of the most consistent defenders I saw week in, week out in Toby Alderweireld. One that really, when you look back at my history supporting Tottenham, it's been so, so consistent, along with the likes of Lely King, Jan Vertonghen. But we said goodbye this week to Toby Alderweireld. He went and obviously linked up now with a new signing in Qatar. It's a chance to kind of react to this because we'll come around to you, Jay, to start, because Fabio Paratici, he's really starting to clear the decks now, isn't he? We've seen the likes of Lamela move on. We're going to have a discussion on him soon. But obviously Danny Rose, Paolo Gazzaniga, there's a number of other Spurs players that are being currently linked. And I think Alderweireld, it's one where maybe some would have been surprised that we would have maybe let him go for the nominal fee now being discussed. I mean, as we understand, it's either somewhere between that 5 to 13 million. But thoughts on that? Spurs letting their best centre-half go before they have brought in another top-class defender. Are you in agreement with that?
Yeah, I think it's also got to be ruthless. I think as much as people will say, yes, he's still maybe our best centre-half, I think that he is a player that did need to get out the door. And I think for his sake and our sake, he did need to move on. There was obviously that opportunity for him to move on that arose with the other defenders, with Sanchez, with Eric Dier. That opportunity hasn't arisen yet. And I'm sure, you know, if an offer came in for Sanchez or an offer came in for Dier, then I'm sure they'll be moved on. But that clearly isn't the case yet. For me, with Alderweireld, it was definitely time to move him on. And I think it was very clear. I know a lot of people reporting that Nuno had made it clear to him that it wasn't part of his plans. And, you know, Alderweireld is on a massive wage. So to get any sort of fee for him and to get his wages off the wage bill was, I think, a big thing for Spurs. But look, we desperately need this rebuild now. And unfortunately, Alderweireld, for me, is not the player that he once was. And we had to get him out the door. So it's great to see that Spurs are being ruthless in terms of moving players out, and we're able to get offload a number of players. So it'll be interesting to see who goes out. But for me personally, I'm happy the timing of it.
Lee, let's come around to you. I mean, Alderweireld, he was really well known for that unbelievable passing range, those cross-field passes, diagonal balls, through to the likes of Dele Alli becoming a trademark. I mean, he has been widely acknowledged, I think, to be one of the Premier League's best defenders and coveted by every club within it. I mean, I think someone may be surprised a couple of years ago when he did that 25 million release clause that nobody came in and actually bought him, and which subsequently led to obviously signing a new contract with Tottenham. The irony, I think, Lee, is that since giving that new contract, listen, he's been a superb defender, but he did lose a yard of pace. For you, are you surprised that we've allowed Toby to go, the likes of Sanchez, the likes of Dier are still here? I mean, is there a real confidence inside the club that we are going to get at least one, and I say at least one, top-draw defender over the line as a replacement for Toby?
Yeah, well, just on Toby first and foremost, one of my favourite players in the modern history of the game with Tottenham. When he first came to us, he was the guy that put the building blocks in his first season, 2016 season, from a defensive perspective. Obviously, we had that title challenge, didn't we, against Leicester that we faltered, classic Tottenham, and conceded loads of goals after that, by the way. But in the second season, that was a phenomenal partnership. I think we conceded 26 goals all season in the 2017 season when we were trying to chase down Chelsea. What he bought along with Jan Vertonghen was, you know, classic partnership, brilliant partnership. We've known each other for so long. Genuine left footer in Jan, brilliant pass through the ball in Toby. I read a stat the other day, which I mean, I could not believe it. It's one for the blue book. But I think in over 200 appearances for Tottenham Hotspur Football Club, he made one mistake leading directly to a goal. I mean, that is
absolutely unbelievable. Unbelievable. When you think of some of the calamitous defending we've had at this football club as well over the last kind of couple of years, certainly. Absolutely phenomenal defender. Love his hair. Love his, you know, just part of the way he was, you know, with his young family and that. So just love the guy. Absolutely brilliant. In terms of moving him on, I agree with Jamie. Ruthless. He come out and said he wants to move. You can't have people at your football club that don't want to be there. And I'll caveat that with the Kane situation. I'm sure we'll come on to that. And I've done that. And I caveat that before. It was a different situation. Toby Wood of Our World was, you know, coming to an 18-month difference contract. He had a desire to want to go. You know, he's given the club what he's given. And we need to make an improvement on that. And I think we can improve in that position on Toby Wood of Our World. So that's why I think it's the right thing to let him go. And obviously, John, one of our own from Lily White Rose, actually put a tweet out a couple of days ago to say we've actually taken out, I think it worked out over a year to be about £31 million worth of savings in wages just on the people that we've cleared out the football club so far. And we still need to clear out another four or five. So the rebuild is happening and the clean out is happening. And as Jamie said, the ruthlessness needs to happen. But I agree with you, Rick. He was our best defender at the football club. So there's only one thing happening. Either Daniel Levy is still completely pulling the strings at Tottenham and nothing's changed, which means Paratici is just a glorified scout, or we've already got Romero signed up, Romero, however you think. Because the fact of the matter is, I know it's not coming out and saying it is signed or so and so forth, but you don't get rid of your best defender if in a season where your defence has been shocking, if you haven't got or you're 99% certain of bringing a Superman or superstar. The good thing about it, like, I'm not the transfer guy, is you both are, right? But the good news, I think, about Christian Romero deal is that he's already agreed personal terms. He wants to come to the football club. Paratici has made it out to say, look, you know what? I want this guy. This is my man. Tottenham want him. He feels loved. He's done all them things. Yes, we're haggling, and maybe that's a Levy thing and certainly not a Paratici thing based on Fabrizio Romano's article in The Guardian the other day talking about Paratici will pay the extras to get deals over the line. But I do think it's a negotiation. We're in COVID times. This isn't about our football club, by the way, listeners. This is about everything. If you want to go and have some education on football finances, go and read about Barcelona. It was absolutely fascinating of how bad in the mire Barcelona, the great Barcelona, are. So, you know, you look at Chelsea, European champions, have got money to burn essentially, and they're even haggling over the Koundé deal. So I know it's difficult, I know it's really hard. Do I want this guy in our football? Of course I do. I want him signed 2 weeks ago. But there's some intricacies there. I think we've offered, my understanding is that we've offered what Atalanta want, but not all in cash. We've offered 10 million in bonuses or add-ons.
Installments, yeah.
Installments. Not installments. I don't think it's installments. I think we've said to him, look, it's 45 million euros and then 10 million euros as bonuses if he does this, if he does that. Yeah. And Atalanta want all of it up front or, you know, as a price. Look, the fact of the matter is, if a deal is at that stage, the personal terms agreed and everything wants to be in a mixer, unless something ridiculous, which could happen, like Real Madrid just go, actually, I fancy him because we've just sold Varan, or Liverpool go, oh, Virgil van Dijk fell over tonight, don't look very good. I think we fancy a new centre-back as well.
Yeah.
That's why you've got to get the deal over the line. Do you know what I mean?
I think
I've gone into the transfers bit, but it is relevant because I think Toby has been absolutely outstanding for us, but it is time to rebuild and move on.
Yeah. Totally agree. Jay, let's come around. You just a quick one on Alvaro. I think we've got to give him some time because he's been absolutely superb for Spurs. Your favourite Alvaro moment? Is there one that sticks out for you?
I remember one. I think it was in the Europa League against Borussia Dortmund, where I think Aubameyang had gone through on goal. Then Alvaro makes a superb last ditch challenge, and then he does that fantastic skill move to get around. I think it was another of the Borussia Dortmund attackers, and it was just kind of a typical Toby moment where he's a total Rolls Royce of a defender, where he makes that brilliant tackle and then he's got kind of that that skill to kind of get himself out of trouble. And I just remember the fans absolutely loving it, and I love a good tackle, and when the fans love it, I think it's brilliant. But that was definitely a moment that sticks out for me. And then of course there was the big one where he scored in the North London derby. That was definitely the other moment for me, where we obviously beat them 2-1. That was a very nice moment.
I'm going to come to Lee in a second, ask him as well. But Jay, just out of interest, by the fact we've seen Vertonghen and Alderweireld leave in what, a couple of seasons are just apart, who will be the more remembered? Or do they both be...
Jan Vertonghen for me. I think there was obviously a bit of... I think with Alderweireld, there was kind of a bit of maybe where he was left a bit sour under Poch, where he was left out the team for quite a while. Then, of course, he had the situation where he kind of looked like he wanted to leave. I actually would say that Alderweireld probably at his peak was probably the better defender, but Jan Vertonghen was just kind of the perfect servant for the club. He was so incredibly loyal to us. You know, just everything he did, he was just such a classy guy off the pitch as well. So for me, Vertonghen will be the most remembered, but I would say in his peak, Alderweireld was probably the better defender, just.
I'm intrigued to ask Lee this. I actually listened back to this show today at the time. I'm going to see if Lee remembers his answer. Lee, for you, who would be the more remembered, Vertonghen or Alderweireld? Because there was a time when Alderweireld, that I feel like Alderweireld did catch a lot of the headlines more than Jan at times. He was seen as the more glamorous out of the two. That's nothing against Jan, because he was also a Rolls Royce of a defender. But for you, if you in 10, 15 years down the line, who would spring to mind as the more consistent? Or is it both?
Well, I think they go together, to be honest. I think one does something differently to the other. I think, you know, Rolls-Royce and Bentley, if you like, in terms of the back. And, you know, when you think about, I think we paid $9 million for Jan Vertonghen, and I think we paid $11 million for Toby Alderweireld.
It's
and
crazy, isn't it?
God. Tonight, battering the football club, battering them because they don't pay the money, yet we're now applauding them because we spent $20 million on two world-class centre-backs.
It's insane, yeah.
Can't have it both ways.
Yeah. Crazy. It's mad.
The reason why Jan Vertonghen, in my opinion, will be remembered more and revered at the club more is because he's going to be our manager in the future. If you look at Jan Vertonghen, the way he is, the way he does, what he can do, I'm talking about in the future, lads.
Yeah.
It's like he will come back and manage our football club, whereas I don't think Toby Alderweireld will. So when you say in 10, 15 years your time, when you look back, I reckon in 10, 15 years time, he'd be our manager. So, you know, I think that he is the sort of person that I think would come back and manage our football club. So I don't think you can get a higher praise than that. But yep. I'll be honest with you, with the hair that you boys have got and what I've got as well, we do love a bit of Toby Alderweireld, don't we?
We do love a bit of Toby Alderweireld. It's a bit trending on the hair here. Lee, favourite Vertonghen moment? Favourite Vertonghen? We've done you already. Favourite Toby Alderweireld moment for you, Lee?
There's been a few, and Jamie's mentioned them. I think the biggest, the favourite moment for me is when he celebrated. I can't remember, it's bad of me for not remembering, but it might have been in the North London Derby, another North London Derby before as well, where he celebrated so hard. You could see, I've got a picture on it on my phone, how passionate and how much that meant to him and to us. It was a brilliant, brilliant moment. And if you think about it, I know he had a couple of injuries and so on and so forth in that season where Sanchez come in and played alongside Jan for a while because Toby was injured. But other than that, I think he's just been, like you said, he's been a Rolls Royce, been absolutely outstanding. So good luck to him. Good luck for the big payday that he's getting out there for a year or so for his family. Fair play to the bloke.
Yeah, totally agree. Also, we have to say that kind of brings an end to an era, doesn't it, of that wonderful defence we had of that season where, of course, I know you boys know
what I'm talking about. My very first show, Rick. I said to you, didn't I? I said, we sell Kyle Walker.
Yeah.
You know, things will never be the same. And they've never been the same. No, now, today, as we're talking, like you say, the famous back four of another part of the football club.
Yep, totally agree. Listen, we're going to go for a very quick break. When we return, it's the cult hero figure of Eric Lamela. Do not go anywhere. We're back after this.
Hi, guys. I want to thank you for everything in the last 6 years. It's been an unbelievable road for me. It's been an honor to play for Spurs. From the moment that I arrived, I felt home. I felt welcomed. And it was a pleasure to play for this club and for the badge. I wish you all the best for the future, and I'm sure we'll meet again. Bye-bye.
Hello and welcome back to The Last Word on Spurs. We've got a signing to talk about, of course, very, very shortly, but another departure at Tottenham, and that is by the name of Eric Lamella. I can hear some people cheering. There's a few cries in the background there. Eric Lamella, to be fair, I've never known a player that divides opinion like Eric Lamella did during his time at Tottenham. It's quite incredible. You speak to some Spurs fans, they absolutely loved him, that passion that he gave, that fight that he gave. But for some, it was all about the skill, what he did on the ball. Was the ability enough in a Tottenham shirt? Well, listen, he gave us what, the best part, 7-8 years at the football club. He obviously has now been part of that deal, which has seen Brian Gill arrive at Tottenham, which we'll be discussing very, very soon. But Jamie, Eric Lamella, I mean, a player that on this podcast has taken up so much of the airtime, sometimes frustrating, sometimes he's utterly brilliant. He departs having made 255 appearances, scoring 37 goals. Where do you stand, Eric Lamella, for you?
No, I think that's why he divides opinion, really. On the pitch, in terms of the numbers that he produced and kind of his overall contribution in terms of goals and assists, it unfortunately wasn't good enough. And it's frustrating because, again, he's another player that you know could have produced so much more. He was an incredibly talented player. I think I said on the show, he was a guy kind of in his, when he was young, much younger, he was a guy, very similar situation to Messi, where they were desperately, Barcelona were desperately, desperately trying to sign him as a youngster. So he's a guy who's always had so much talent. And I think when he came from Roma, massive, massive expectation, but unfortunately just failed to deliver on that. But I think the one thing you can say about Eric Lamella is kind of every time he was on the pitch, he gave absolutely everything for the team. As I said, in terms of the quality, it wasn't quite good enough. But, you know, sometimes I think the supporters, we love that. We love to see players giving everything and really caring. And that's something that did really strike me with him. He was a guy that really cared for Tottenham Hotspur. He was kind of a guy that never let us look like we've got a soft side. I think in the role he played in the Stamford Bridge game, the Battle of the Bridge, you know, the number, he loved getting involved in that. And I do love those sort of players. So, yes, unfortunately, what he contributed to the team wasn't maybe quite good enough. But I think, you know, in terms of the passion that he showed, the desire that he showed was fantastic. But again, another player I'm delighted to see leave. It was 100% the right time to go. I think he's been a guy who's been very comfortable to kind of sit on the bench. And that's not what we need. We want players that are really pushing for every match to want to be in the starting 11. So I'm delighted to see him go. Obviously, another one who's a big amount of money off the wage bill. So, yes, it's obviously sad to see him go in terms of the passion that he brought. But in terms of what he contributed, unfortunately, it wasn't quite good enough. So happy to see him go.
Yeah, I mean, the thing with Lamella is if any game could sum him up, it was that game against Arsenal last season, wasn't it? The utterly brilliance of that wonderful Rabona followed by sending off. I mean, you couldn't make a Lamella game up more than that game at the Emirates last season. Lee, I think for a player like Lamella, podcasts were made for this reason, right? Because you have to have the time, the airtime to be able to talk about a player like that, because you have the utterly brilliant, you have the utter crazy. And, you know, we've been going for, what, 5 years? Lamella's been here for a bit longer than what we've been going for. But overall, Lee, where do you stand on Lamella? Will he be a player that you'll be remembered for the right reasons, or will you just be a player that you thought, do you know what, there was still more in there that we just never got out of him?
Definitely the latter, Rick. Definitely the latter. I think, you know, there was definitely a player in there. But you say, I mean, I just said there's definitely a player in there, but how many seasons can you keep saying that for? Maybe it's your season. Maybe it's your season. A little bit, it's the hope that kills you, the hope that keeps you, hope that kills you type scenario that we love about our football club. I think it was easy for the football club to keep him because every new manager that came in would look at him and go, well, he gives his all, 110%. He's got the right attitude, the right behaviour, and he had. I think it is prevalent to talk about his injury. It was absolutely horrific, the double hip surgery that he had to have, and, you know, seeing him on them crutches and he couldn't even walk properly. And, you know, when you are an athlete or a sports person, you know, you can work incredibly hard. I think we're seeing it this week and last week and right now in the Olympics, where you can work incredibly hard for an event, for something, for a match or whatever, and then ping, it just gets taken away from you. You can't just get... And I think he was hampered by injuries. You know, when he was fully fit and you think, oh, he's had a decent pre-season and he started the season a couple of seasons ago, we played Man City early doors again, didn't we, in August? And he scored the goal. We ended up drawing 2-2. That was another Springbok header, if you remember, from Lucas Moura. I think Lamela got the first goal. I remember Jace saying all them years ago, you know, that Lamela never delivers in a big game. He never delivers. And the game that he delivered, the biggest game that he can deliver in the league for, from a North London derby with a Rabona, and then he gets sent off. I mean, you literally could not make this stuff up. And like you said, Rick, you perfect summed him up. Look, he's a lovely guy by all accounts. You know, really, really strong values for Tottenham Hotspur and really loves us as a football club and us fans, which is amazing. But very much the time to move on was probably a couple of seasons ago, but now it's come and it's wishing well in Seville.
Interesting, isn't it? Because, Jay, I mean... of all this, Lamela's actually upgraded in a way. I'm not saying he's upgraded club, but I mean, he's actually going to be playing Champions League football.
Yeah, he'll probably go and win something, boys. He'll probably go and win something.
You could have made it up, would you? I mean, Lamela's done better off at the moment in terms of what he's ending up with. Champions League football, we're in the Europa Conference League, of course. What do you think Seville fans will think of that move? Because I mean, we're going to come to Brian Gill shortly, but I mean, some of them are fuming. The fact that they've allowed this wonderful superstar to maybe be let go. As I will use the word potential superstar because he's still very, very young. We'll come on to him in a second. But Lamela, Seville fans, what will they make of that for them? Will they be elated? Will they be accepting of that, Lamela coming to them?
No, I would have thought, well, I think that Brian Hill was a guy that they looked like they were trying to negotiate a much higher fee for. And I think they were trying to get in a release clause. So, you know, they've lost him for Eric Lamela, who was probably worth about 10, 15 million euros plus 25. So, you know, they've not really got I don't think they've got a great deal out of it, really, in terms of bringing Eric Lamela in. But again, he's a guy over the last 8 seasons who's just not shown it enough. And unfortunately, that potential, as Lee said, has really been hampered by injury. I think something that's so big in sport is having that consistency where you're able to train, get fitter and stronger week after week. But Eric Lamela's never been able to do that. And unfortunately, that's something that I think you just got to accept. That's part of the player. You know, you can say he's got all this potential, but he's got that caveat where he gets it. You know, he's very susceptible to injury. So unfortunately, they are getting a player who they will be very frustrated with. You know, fingers crossed he can stay fit. I mean, you never know. You know, might be in a new environment and he might be able to stay fit over in Seville. And our fingers crossed he does, because, as I said, I think as a player, as a guy, I really liked Eric Lamela. So I wish him the best of luck. Obviously, as you said, he's got a great move there. I think it's a good club. Obviously, a fantastic place to live as well. Champions League football. So for him, I think it's a very good move. But I think for Sevilla fans, yes, they've definitely got the worst end of the deal.
Jay, for you quickly.
Sorry to interrupt you, boys. I just want to say as well with Lamela, when you read his stats out earlier about his goals, I think he got 48 assists as well. Over that period of time, he's just not good enough. And you think that...
Not what we're looking for.
Exactly. I mean, you talk about Lucas Moura as well, you know, look at his stats, his goals and assists and what, you know, even goals or chances created, same as Eric Lamela. Work rate, yes. You know, does he understand Battle of the Bridge? Does he understand North London Derby? Yes, yes, yes. All them things, great. But what about his goals? What about his assists? What about his, you know, creation of chances? And some people will say to me, it's not just about goals and assists. No, I understand. Like, I do watch a lot of football and I do understand how it works, but what are we expecting from an individual in that position? He can play anywhere across the front three, for example. Yep. So somebody playing anywhere across the front three, surely you're expecting chances created, assists and goals. That is what you're expecting, right? And he didn't deliver enough on any of them three things.
Especially with the calibre of players that he was playing with as well.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, exactly that. I mean, you know, he had horrific injuries, as we mentioned before, but probably unfairly, but we used to nickname him Crazy Legs, right? Because he didn't know where his legs were going. He'd look one way, his legs would go another way. He just didn't really know what to kind of do with the ball.
Yep.
If he had more of a, you know, I don't mean this rudely, Tim, but if he had more of a footballing brain, let's put it that way, he could have been amazing. And I think we took him from Roma with the bail money, 30 million, whatever it was, from memory. And, you know, I think he scored 15 goals and 12 assists or something like that in the Italian league. And we're all thinking, wow, you score 15 goals and have 12 assists against the Italian defences in that league. You must be good. Yeah. And he comes to the Prem and I don't think he ever scored 15 goals in a season for us in all competitions, ever, in one season.
Just on his footballing brain, I'll never ever forget the moment where he tried to ball roll in the last, I think it was the last minute of added time against Ajax when we've just scored the third goal and he's doing a ball roll. I'll never ever forget that. Just that nearly killed me.
I was going to throw in that Leeds are a boner as well last season. Was it 3-1 down?
Yeah. Oh yes, I remember. Yeah. But that sums him up, unfortunately. Yeah. There was so many moments where it was just moments of craziness. So, yeah, I mean, that for me, I mean, that if you had to say a Lamella moment that I remember well, I definitely will never forget him doing that because that gave me a heart attack.
Do you have a favourite Lamella moment, Jay?
The one moment that really stands out for me, I think, was when he wound up Jack Wilshere after the Arsenal game. I absolutely love that picture. I just think that picture that will go down in Spurs history. I think that was it's such a funny picture. That's what he was about. I just loved the way he got everything about in terms of the derby and stuff. So that was brilliant about him. But yeah, I think that would be the best one. Unfortunately, it's not a footballing moment, and that sums it up really, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. Lee, for you, I mean, one thing I did like, and that is really naughty, but it was one of those, I mean, the Man United game, the 6-1 at Old Trafford, where you got Martial sent off. I know you should never kind of encourage that, but it's almost like a way that we've had that done to so many times down the years that it's nice to actually be on the right end of something. And, you know, I think Mourinho did add that to his game, don't get me wrong, but do you have a favourite Lamella moment?
I agree with that. He was definitely a Mourinho-type player for that sort of stuff, wasn't he, for sure? Like, I think I like the first Rabona, the audacious. I know it wasn't as big a game. I think the one against Arsenal was outstanding, but that game, we lost the game and he got sent off, so it kind of didn't mean anything. I think the game, you could also say it didn't mean anything in the Europa League, but it was absolutely audacious for him to do it. And I don't think anyone had seen that before in terms of, at the time, doing a Rabona in a European competition, like in match play. And he'd done it. So, for me, that's what sticks out in my mind. You know, it wasn't Champions League, but it was it was a game under the lights and all that sort of stuff. In the Europa, and he pulled, he done it. He take it away from me. He tried it. He done it. So, just wish he'd have had some bigger moments. The other moment, unfortunately, is a negative one, but it's the other moment when we were playing on the NFL ridden Wembley pitch against Man City, which looks like a sandpit. And he clearly was one, it went through one and one, and he missed. I mean, it's a classic scenario. You know, the amount of times that he's gone through, I think he went through against, I think it was against Liverpool as well. And you're thinking, go on, son, here we go. And he missed. And you just think, they are the big moments that he never quite had in his game.
Totally agree. Well, listen, we wish Eric Lamella all the very, very best. We honestly do. All joking aside, for a player that, you know, sometimes as fans, we ask for one thing minimum, commitment. And I've got to say, work rate-wise, he gave us that. He did give us that. I mean, ability, that's one thing we can all say maybe was lacking. But in terms of commitment, Eric Lamella fought for the shirt. And listen, we wish him all the best for his move into Ville. Coming the other way is Brian Heal. We're going to be talking about him next and also taking and finishing up on your listener questions. Don't go anywhere. We're back after our final break of this show.
Phoenix 51 is a powerful employee technology enabling organizations to make data-driven decisions at every stage of the employee journey, from hiring through benchmarking and development too. The platform provides detailed analytics on the most important asset in your business, your people, enabling organizations not only to make the correct hiring decisions, but also how to benchmark, train, and retain them. Phoenix 51, powering your people decisions through every part of the employee journey.
Hello and welcome back to the final part of The Last Word on Spurs. And we're here to present another summer signing, our second one of the summer. Tottenham Hotspur getting over the line. Brian Heal, who joins us as part of the deal for Eric Lamella, going in the opposite direction to Sevilla. Gil spent last season on loan at La Liga side Elbar, but the 20-year-old impressed Spurs scouts despite the club being relegated for Spurs to splash the cash. Let's come around to you, Jay, because he's a player that is proficient on either wing, particularly on the left. He's the kind of player that likes to attack both the defender and the end line. He averages, with last season, he averaged 1.5 crosses per match. He's a guy who will get the ball into the box, creating opportunities for his teammates. I think we have to say, still a very, very young player, still very, very raw. is it important that we do allow this kind of player to adapt to the Premier League? Because I think as Spurs fans, we have got that tendency to want it all right now. Yeah. I feel this player is one that we need to bed in slowly. We may see him maybe in the Europa Conference League, just so he starts to acclimatise to Spurs in general, his teammates, the culture of the league. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously it's a very interesting signing because I think he's clearly one that has been brought for his potential and kind of for the future. So, yes, as you said, I think it's definitely one that we need to kind of be patient with and give time. I think he's a guy that very much suited. Obviously, he's quite a diminutive figure. So it'll be interesting to see him coming into the Premier League, being a much more physical league, how he gets on. But I think it's very interesting when you look at Paratici's track record of kind of finding these these real hidden gems. I think Federico Chiesa was a fantastic example of Juventus, of a guy that Paratici went and found. So, you know, this is another big reason why we brought Paratici to Spurs, because we want these sort of signings. You know, all the indications from people that have actually watched him, they're very, very excited about this transfer. They think this is a very good signing for Spurs. And hopefully he can just deliver on that potential. As you said, he's a guy who's a very versatile attacker. It sounds like long-term he's going to be more of a number 10. I think a lot of people are comparing him in his style of play to Jack Grealish, a guy that likes to kind of really run at players and that's very creative. So it's an interesting sign. And again, I'll be honest, I'm not a guy that's watched him a great deal. I've only just been heard from people that have watched him a lot, kind of what he's about. So, but from all the accounts, it sounds like he's a very big talent. I think Spain have produced a couple of big talents now. I think it's Ansu Fati at Barcelona. Of course, Pedri, and people saying he's just kind of behind those two. And those two are kind of real, some of the top young players in the world. So very interesting signing. I think he'll definitely take time to kind of get up to speed. I do as well think that Spurs will have some sort of hope that he will be able to hit the ground running and try and get a first team spot. I think for Spurs to invest 25 million euros in him now, I think there will be kind of a slight hope that he will be able to hit the ground running. So be very interesting. As I said, I don't know a huge amount about him, but I'm still quite excited for this one because he's clearly a guy that Paratici likes a lot. So and he's been right on a lot of occasions with these younger players. So yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing him.
Joe's very interesting. And I picked this up. I mean, I know Ali also said this in one of his videos that, you know, you get these rumours that are linked consistently, you know, to a player signing. It came out absolutely nowhere. It was so left field. You know, we've seen no reports on Tottenham even going in for this guy. And suddenly it was done over the line. So it just does show you that sometimes some transfers are kept under wraps. Lee, he's typically stationed as a left winger, naturally left footed. I know people are saying, oh, another one that's only one footed. But, you know, he's versatile. He's played anywhere across the attacking midfield three. He's a winger, but it's quite conceivable that he's a player that can dribble, distribute and shoot. So we're getting a player that I think, you know, he's going to be a real bit of a flair player and excitement. Do you think, I know Lee, you're always, you know, very much accustomed to this, that, listen, don't put too much pressure on him, allow him to come into the team, allow him to develop, you know, support him, give him the best opportunities to be the best he can be?
Yeah, for sure. Look, I mean, good luck to the kid. I think it suited him. I think it suited Seville in a way with Lamella. Definitely suited Tottenham Hotspur Football Club. We can sit here all day long and bang on about, you know, we've spotted him and we wanted him in the mixer. But let's be honest about it. We've probably shipped Lamella out and lost 100 grand a week on the wage bill. And we bring in bringing Gil.
We've all tried that so far. We'll get it right at some point. Someone will let us know.
50 grand a week, do you know what I mean? So, you know, that suits the club and the player and so on and so forth. Look, I've written some names down here. Look, Paratici did unearth Kingsley Coman as well and got him an absolutely outstanding bargain and then put him over through Bayern Munich and that sort of stuff. But I'm struggling here a little bit as to why, you know, you mentioned where he came, you know, where did the name even come from? It's just out of the blue of a sign-in. Maybe it's opportunistic. But down that left-hand side, we've got players like Gil, Son, Sessegnon, Reggie is already down them left-hand side. So, you know, you've got Bergwijn's already, he plays in from the left-hand side as well. I just hope, I've written some names down here, I hope he's not another Fernandez or another Postiga or another Dominguez or another Ng'i or another Nkudu. I mean, you know, these are all players that were, oh yeah, they're fantastic and this, that and the other. I mean, fair play to him, and he wears a shirt, and you know, I don't want to criticise him, but also Jack Clark, he come out of the blue from somewhere, 8 million quid. He didn't even get a game. Like, he didn't even play properly. He can't even get a game out on loan when he went back to Leeds. So, you know, in his first season.
Yeah.
So, look, I just hope, look, good luck to him. I think he needs a haircut, if I'm honest, but good luck to the bloke. And, you know, I hope that he can start ripping up the Premier League like he had been doing. The other thing that just worries me a little bit is it, look, not being funny, we talk about partnerships and Reggie and Gil being together, right? Fantastic. But I don't think they played with each other, did that, Seville? Because he was out on loan, as you said, anyway.
No,
so,
no, yeah.
You know, he hasn't, you know, Seville had him as his fantastic talent, yep. But they loaned him out. And now all of a sudden he's good enough to jump in Tottenham Hotspur's first team.
Well, it's interesting. What I would say, I mean, from Seville's perspective, there are a lot of their fans. They're very frustrated. There seems to be a player there that they were honestly believing was going to come into their first team and rip up the league. So there's got to be something in there that has made the club.
There has to be.
Yeah.
So Tottenham,
that kind of money as well. That kind of money.
Million, yeah, they're definitely not a part of 25 million if he's not a superstar. But
yeah,
no, I think that. Look, I'm going to say this, maybe I'm a little bit naive because I don't watch a huge amount of different leagues all over the world and whatever. But, you know, in the same breath as Romario, I know he just got Italian Defender of the Year or Serie A Defender of the Year or whatever. And he's just won Copa del America or whatever as well with Argentina. Yep. But let's be brutally honest about it. Was you thinking that we were going to sign Christian Romero before, you know, in the close season or in May, did you even know that this bloke existed? Right. And it's the same with Gil and all of a sudden now. And so, look, I'm not saying it's a bad thing because that's what Paratici is here and so on and so forth.
Of course, yeah.
All these Spurs fans or all these people on Twitter, should we say, rather than Spurs fans, were going absolutely bonkers because we haven't signed this bloke. You didn't even know he was 3 months ago.
I think the thing with Romero is that he's very clearly a guy that Paratici likes. I think it's very clear that he's the number one guy. I can understand why maybe people are frustrated. And obviously, he's clearly done a fantastic job at Atalanta this year. I think he did a great job in terms of helping them get into the Champions League again. I think they qualified into the knockout stage of the Champions League. Earned his place in the Argentinian squad. So,
correct me if I'm wrong here, Jay. I do get that feeling that I think the reason why fans are so frustrated right now, and listen, this is why we have a podcast like this. You know, we want to hear from fans as well. Is because, you know, we've been here before with Skriniar. We've been here before where we've focused on one player and we've allowed that to run throughout the window, and we get to a point where it seems as an impasse of whether it's 5 or 6 million, and we refuse to pay it. But ultimately, we don't know what's going on behind closed doors. Yeah. We're not part of negotiations. Like, we don't know what's going on. But I think there's that frustration there that for that element of that extra couple of million that we won't do the deal. And it's the case that if this is Paratici's man, go and get him.
I agree. I agree with you. I agree.
Who he wants, and this is the reason why, if you've made this whole effort to go and bring Paratici in, and then you're not going to give the man the players he wants, what's the point? It's the same as Mourinho, isn't it? It's the same as Mourinho. We said it before. If you're going to bring Jose Mourinho to your football club and you do not give him the tools he wants, what's the point?
Yeah, and you look at you make the screen right, and look, I'm not, you know, I think you're right actually, and I'm not having a go at people of Spurs fans being frustrated because I'm one of them as well. To be fair, I've been the one.
We've all been the last 18 months.
I need this geezer over the line. Do you know what I mean? Like everyone else. When you brought up the Skriniar example. Again, it's absolutely bang on. What happened is we chase, loads and loads and loads of, you know, massive links to Skriniar. He was in and out of the team. We were going to get him, you know, we would come to Tottenham. And then we signed Joe Roden, 15 million.
Yep.
I think that the thing now is now you've brought in Paratici, you need to go and trust him now.
Of course you have. Yep.
I think that's the big thing. Although, you know, maybe in the past, but under Mourinho, I think because of the role that Paratici's in terms of director of football and a guy that's identified talents, a guy that's got a track record of signing some real, you know, real gems, I think this is why you should go and back him, and there should be some sort of trust in him. So,
Jamie, and Rick, I know both of you are the transfer gurus, right? So I'm asking you guys rather than, you know, I know we've morphed into the transfer bit of the show, Rick.
That's but, fine.
You know,
listen, I mean, Brian Hill, we wish you all the very best. We'll focus in now on our list of questions.
Brian. Do wish you the best, mate. Go get the barbers, mate. But yeah, no, I'm only joking. I am messing about, listeners, I promise. But look, I think, do you think that we will sign Christian Romero? right, firstly. And actually, the most important, in my opinion, the most important position that we strengthen this year is two centre-backs. You know, it's totally not agree. Even one.
Oh, not one, it's exactly. Two. Yeah,
it, and we need a right-back. Yeah. And we need a right-back. And we need not a backup striker, another striker. And I'm going to put this out there.
Yeah.
I think Harry Kane's leaving. I've read a lot of stuff. I've listened to a lot of stuff. I talked to a lot of people. Not in the know. I'm not in the know. Right?
Yeah.
I'm just, you know, this is just my opinion. And lots of people go, no, he's not. And lots of people say he is, and so on and so forth. But there's never smoke without fire. And actually, Charlie's been the guy that's almost been the scapegoat. But that he's doing his job, right? He's there to do the scapegoat because I think it's Carrie that's pushing for that move.
He is, but I don't think Lee, but I think Charlie's handled this incredibly poorly. And listen, he seems like a lovely bloke, but I don't think he's done himself any favours by leaving that to the Sun. I don't think it massively helps the situation. I don't think Kane doing that, Gary Neville interview helps him either, to be honest with you. I don't think he's helped him so far.
I tell you why I brought up Kane at that point is because I this is going to sound absolutely ridiculous, right, to some people, and maybe even to me when I say it out loud, but if and when, or when, but hopefully if Kane leaves, I actually think we can replace a striker more than what we can replace, more than what we can't afford to not replace our defenders. Do you understand what I mean? So in other words, right, if Kane leaves, and we could probably go and buy that bloke that you were talking about from Florentina, we could probably go and buy Jimenez if his head injury is all right, we'll probably go and buy Danny Ings. So not a direct replacement for Kane, but brilliant strikers. But if we start the season with Sanchez and Dyer at the back,
forget it.
We ain't got no chance.
I totally agree. What you're saying is to actually go and invest in two, you know, top-of-the-range centre-backs, we can do that even if we let Kane go, because, you know, we've got the two decent centre-backs. I totally agree, Lee, that if we start the season with Sanchez and Dyer there, I mean, listen, enough, you might as well write off any hopes of even top six.
I suppose to summarise, Jamie, get your point, just to summarise what I'm trying to say, because I didn't articulate very well. Regardless if Kane stays or goes, if we start the season with Sanchez and Dyer at the back, we are done.
100%. I do get that. I think if that is the partnership, then I think it's pointless that Kane's there, because we're going to ship so many goals that I think it will be a complete disaster. So I think, you know, we've seen so many times now where Liverpool have gone on to win the league, gone on to win the Champions League because they've really sorted their defence. That was a massive issue. They've gotten that really transformative defender. And that's something that desperately, desperately needs to happen at Spurs now. We need that leader in the back line.
You're saying, Jay, as well, correct if I'm wrong here, when Kane was out for a period and Son was in that formidable form, and I know Pochettino found a way to make that work, Spurs, I think, had defensively, they had Alderweireld and Vertonghen there. That's why we were so formidably strong. And that allowed, you know, that allowed us to be without Kane. So I think we have shown previously that we can win without Kane. 100% we've shown that. I think my concern is what that shows from an ambitious perspective as Tottenham as a club. You've got the best stadium in the world. You've got the best training ground in the world. But yet, if you sell your poster boy to... I know people say Spurs aren't a direct rival of City by how far Spurs have fallen, but they're still a rival in the Premier League. How does that look, you know, to other players? How does that look to Heung-Min Son? How does that look for Tungyan Ndombele, Giovanni Lo Celso, Sergio Reguilon? What do they think looking at that situation? You know, do you think, Jamie, that Kane will be a Spurs player come the end of the transfer window? I won't say come the City game because it looks like he probably won't play that game, but come the end of the window, will Kane be a Spurs player?
I think, unfortunately, I think he definitely wants to leave. I think that's very clear that he does want to kind of move on. And I understand that. I think as Spurs fans, none of us would begrudge him if he was to move on. Unfortunately, you know, he's been here so long and we just haven't really shown signs of really wanting to kick on. So I can understand that. I think the big problem is I just don't think Manchester City are going to stump up that sort of money. It looks as though they are talking to Jack Grealish, and that looks like a move that could well be done. So I just don't think they'll have that £150 million to get it done. I think it will be a similar situation to Jadon Sancho in terms of where last summer we saw Man United, they weren't able to quite match what Borussia Dortmund wanted. And the following summer, obviously this summer, they've just got him for a little bit cheaper. And I think that'll be the situation with Harry Kane. I think with 2 years left in his contract next summer, he'll be worth about £100-120 million. So I think he'll be a bit more affordable. And I think that's when City will go for him. So I think he'll be a Spurs player next season.
The thing that worries me so much about the situation with Kane is that I love him through the bones. From top to bottom, he's the best player I've seen in a Tottenham shirt. He's been absolutely incredible for our football club, one of our own. What's worrying me the most is he hasn't even replied to birthday messages. He hasn't even come back out and said, like, you know, he's changed all of his profile to England, which is fair enough, but come on. You know, you're still a Tottenham player and this is your boyhood club. And I'm not feeling the love. Like, I'm not feeling the love as a Tottenham. I've given everything for my love to him type thing. It sounds weird, but where I'm not feeling it back now. Yeah. And I don't like that. I don't want people. I said earlier, I caveat with Kane because he is the best striker in the world, without a doubt. He's the Premier League Golden Boot owner and assist owner. He's absolutely world-class, in my opinion, and he's worth 200 million or 160 million, whatever it might be. The point being is that it's a different scenario to Toby Alderweireld or Lemar or all these sorts of people. So, but he definitely wants to go. There's no way, because if he didn't, he'd just come out and say, I ain't going anywhere. What is all these rumours? He has not said a thing. No. And this is somebody like Maurizio Pochettino, when he wanted to come back to Tottenham, but he never said anything. He's just signed a contract, an extension that was expected at PSG because they couldn't do the fight. The stuff is happening behind the scenes, listeners, that if they get the deal done, he's gone. But if they don't get the deal done, I don't think Kane's the sort of person that's going to come out and ruin it. Just like Pochettino. The minute he comes out and says, I want to transfer, that's it. It is game over. You cannot start the game with Tottenham. You can't play again for Tottenham Hotspur. And the same reason Maurizio Pochettino couldn't manage PSG if he'd have come out and said, I don't want to be, I want to go back to London. Because your position is untenable. Are you with me, lads and listeners?
Yeah,
so the point I'm making is that it feels like we're on tender hooks waiting for him to do something. If he knows that, if Jamie's right, and I hope you are, by the way, that he won't go this year and it's too expensive, and they know that, he needs to come out and say, don't know what all the rumours about, I can't wait to play with Nuno, it's going to be fantastic, and crack on.
Yeah, well,
that's a worry for me.
Well, the worry for me very quickly is, and I said this on the last show, there's got to be a deadline on this, right? We can't have this come and cloud the start of a season. How many times have we been here, boys? Berbatov, Modric, we allow players to disrupt the start of our season. We have an awful August, and by the time August is over, we're playing catch-up already.
Yeah. We're not doing business either. Like, we're going to replace him as well, and kind of the time that they'll have to bed in the new signings if we were to replace them, I just think it'll be a complete disaster.
That for me gives me hope that kills you. Yeah. Gives me hope that he's not going to go this season because literally you have to be a clown if you think you're going to sell him at the last day of the season or the transfer windows or whatever, and not have a replacement. I mean, is literally insanity. Yeah. So you know, if you are going to buckle on the 160, you need to buckle now and get him sold and go and bring in a Danny Ings or, you know, the fella from Florentina or both of them or something, right? Yeah. Because you cannot start the season with a half-cooked Kane who don't know whether he's going to be here or not, who's just come back from the Euros and this, that and the other, and then having this to and fro in it. You know, we saw it clear as day in the Aston Villa game where we had fans back in the stadium, although they ripped us off for it, but fans back in the stadium for one of the first times in ages. We should have gone and ripped Aston Villa a new one to get into the top four under Ryan Mason. And we were absolutely woeful because that Gary Neville interview broke the day before, whatever it was, and it put everyone off. Everyone in that football club was like, what, our main man, our Roy of the Rovers, our poster boy is being sold or he wants to go. And then we turned up at Villa and we were at White Hart Lane against Villa and was woeful.
Yep.
This is the effect that it has. That's why people have got anger and frustration against the Kane camp or Charlie Kane or whatever it might be because of that, the way it's been handled. Like you said, Rick, before, it's like, fine, do the interview. Fine if he wants to go. Fine if you want to have his conversations, but do it after the business end.
Yep.
Do it after everything's finished. Give us a chance.
This is what I mean.
Go out there and smash it in the back of the net. No. It's so frustrating.
I think ironically, in a weird way, though, I think it's no offense to Charlie. I don't know the guy. Listen, he's from a Spurs supporting family. So, regardless of that, they're looking after Kane's best interest. I just think they've handled it so far so poorly. It's been so poorly advised. And what I would say to Kane, I think his biggest, I would just say this in a polite way, you know, you don't normally turn to family to look after your business interests, right? I mean, I think that should have been kept separately. And, you know, I think what will do Kane in the most is by not having that super agent that may have been able to potentially move him. I don't know what you think about that, Jay.
There's no stipulation in his contract. That was the biggest mistake. No. Signing a six-year contract. That had no get-out clause. And that unfortunately, that's really biting him now.
That wouldn't happen these days. I mean, that wouldn't happen these days. Not a chance. But
I think, give the board, if we're allowed to, before I get pelted on Twitter when his show goes out at midnight, but give the board some credit. You know, they signed up Sonny on a four-year deal recently. They've signed up Harry Kane on a six-year deal 4 years ago. They've done the same with Dele Alli. They've done, the long-term contracts that they had. The mistakes that they made were with the likes of Christian Eriksen, they couldn't get him over the line at that period of time. That, you know, regardless of what we think of him now, they signed Eric Dyer on a bigger long-term contract as well to protect the investment that may or may not be there. Now, things change in football very, very quickly. How many times have you heard that as a cliche? And I think, you know, they're looking at that now. You know, the thing that hurts me the most as a Tottenham fan is I go back to the Henry days, right? They had Ian Wright, and he was an absolute legend, Ian Wright, at Arsenal. And I just thought, you know, he's coming to the end of his career. There ain't no way they're going to get another Ian Wright. And then straight away, they got Thierry Henry. Straight away. And he is an absolute outstanding. And I look at them down the road all the time thinking, my word, you know, they've had some amazing strikers and whatever. And we never quite... We've got one. Absolutely amazing striker. One of our own. And we're now in the same situation where we was with all the names you mentioned before. Robbie Keane wanting to go to Liverpool, Berbatov wanting to go to United, Modric wanting to go Real Madrid, Bow wanting to go to Real Madrid. I mean, God's sake, we sold Defoe to Portsmouth, for crying out loud. It's one of our best ever strikers. You know, it's so infuriating that we're in the same situation as we've been, even though the board have tied them up to long-term contracts. You know, so, you know, somebody somewhere needs to come out and say, one of the best players in the world and the best striker in the world, it's always going to have speculation, but he's on a three-year deal and he ain't going nowhere. End of story. See you later. And you need to say it, and you need him to have that conversation with the club so he comes out and says it. And until he does, he's going to rumble on, I'm afraid.
Totally agree with you guys. We're going to finish with some listener questions. Quick fire listener questions here. Very, very quick. Let's come to you, Jay. This is from Andy Perry at AndyPerry79, who says, do you think there's been a massive overreaction to Paratici? So far, he's managed a keeper on loan and a 19-year-old unknown on quantity. Neither impact our starting 11, and we are 2 weeks away from Man City, followed by 4 games in 10 days. Are we ready for the start of the season, in your opinion?
Slightly a bit harsh, because he has only been here a couple of weeks as well. So it's not, I think he was kind of brought in later on in the summer. So I think a little bit harsh. I think the one thing that I've been quite impressed with is kind of the level of signings that we've gone for. I think when you saw we were linked with Joachim Anderson at Fulham or Lyon, and then we've of course stepped it up, and we're looking at now, we looked at Koundé, we looked at obviously Romero now. So we've really stepped up our recruitment, and we look like there's more of a plan. There looks like there's better players being targeted. So that's something that I've been impressed with. The players that we have been linked with, the players that we're trying to sign, that's something that has impressed me. So I think it's a bit harsh to say that he's not, you know, maybe we haven't got quite done what we needed to, just because I don't think he's been long enough. And that's the one thing that is frustrating for me. It's a shame that he didn't come in earlier in the summer. So I think it's a little bit harsh to kind of criticise him on that point.
So he's still cooking, Jay, in your opinion. There's still a lot of cooking going on.
I hope so behind the scenes. There better be.
Next one, Lee, let's come to you. This is from Sam Jarrett at Sam_Jarrett, who says, why does our club consistently insist on not spending the final 5 to 15 million to secure top-level players to push our club to the next level? Being financially sustainable is one thing, but actively not looking to improve the squad will lead to players like Kane wanting to leave. Thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with this. I mean, I didn't think I'd be agreeing with this, actually, these types of points, because I do think it's a negotiation. I still think it's a negotiation. I still think we'll end up paying and getting an agreement that suits the club. At the very basic level, a negotiation should be a win-win situation, right, for the two or maybe even three parties in this case that are working, right? You want the player to be happy. You want the buying club to be happy. You want the selling club to be happy. At the moment, we've got two of them things now down in terms of we understand that Atalanta want to sell, we want to buy, and the players already agreed terms and happy. it's just a finalisation. In my opinion, I don't know everything, obviously, I don't know the intricacies of it, but it's, in my opinion, it's intricacies to get an extra 5 or 10. It's not just about buying it or paying it. It's about making sure it happens. And I'm confident that will happen.
Okay, Jay, next one to you. This is actually from another Jamie, THFC Jamie the Coys, who says, would you take selling Kane for 160 million if it meant we got Romero,
no.
Vlahovic,
no.
Tomiyasu, another centre-back and a centre-mid?
No, I would never sell. I'd never sell Harry Kane. I think that just for me, I think you'll never ever be able to get that kind of what the whole package that he brings. I think people got to remember the fact that, you know, he's one of our own. For me, you know, he's the best striker. He's the best number nine in the world. You're just never going to replace that. I think I think as well, what it would do for the atmosphere of the football club to sell a player like Harry Kane, I think that would absolutely kill the atmosphere of the football club. I think it'd be a disaster. First game of the season or whenever he's sold, I just think it'd be a disaster. So no player would sacrifice for Harry Kane.
Okay, final question of the show. This one goes to Lee. Lee, this is from Stephen Newham, who says, factoring in the manager search and eventual appointment, the new director of football, managing director, player outgoings and incomings, how would you rate Spurs' summer out of 10 so far? No pressure.
Look, I think the summer's, you know, so far, I'd probably give it a 6, maybe. You know, it's probably been quite kind. I think that everybody that's in the know, and I'm not one of them, by the way, but everyone that's in the know is saying that big things are happening behind the scenes. Things take time. It wouldn't surprise me if we start the season without having a signing, but it also wouldn't surprise me if we go and get 5 over the line in the next 3 days. It just would not surprise me with this football club. This guy that we've read and heard so much about from very, very senior figures in the media, with people, friends of the show, Ali Gough, Fabrizio Romano, Chris Cowling, obviously got, you know, some fantastic, you met him the other day, Chris Cowling did, absolutely amazing. So look, I think at the end of the day, they're all saying, all of these, the big journos, big newspapers, global newspapers are saying, this guy is unbelievable. Got to trust him that he's coming in and going to do the business for us. He hasn't come in to sit there and not do anything, is he? He's coming to work his backside off, pull the strings, and it's going to happen. Have faith. I am back to my optimistic world, and I am saying to you, we are going to have 2 or 3 big signings to hit the ones that we've already got into our football club. And actually, you think about the signings that we made last season, coupled with the signings that we made the season before, yeah. And you can all sit here and have a go at me right now when you're on your run or wherever you're listening to me, say, we haven't made any. But we've spent a decent amount of money for Tottenham Hotspur in the last 2 seasons. Fingo and Dembele, Lo Celso, Sessegnon, we've got in Reggie, we've also got in the new goalkeeper, Pierluigi Golini, not Colini, the referee. You know, we obviously brought back Gareth Bale, but now he's gone. You know, we had a Vinicius situation going on in there. You know, we've now been linked with Cristiano Ronaldo. I think he'll come over the line. We've got some decent... This is the rebuild, and we know it was going to be painful. It is painful, but we're coming out the other side of it. I'm looking forward... I like Nuno. I like the way he's approaching. I like his arm around. He feels to me like a Pochettino, a Harry Redknapp type character. I think we needed that. I think we needed to refresh a squad. £31 million worth of wages off the wage bill these 12 months, as John Lily White Rose reported earlier, this, and more to go out as well. If we can shift Sissoko, if we can shift the Winks, if we can shift a couple of the other fringe players, Cameron Carter-Vickers, get some more wages out, all of a sudden we're in a situation where you're looking at a team where a squad of 16, 17, 18 players where you think, wow, this is very different to where we was 2.5 years ago. That's exactly what we needed. Trust the process. Have faith. Come on, Paratici, keep cooking.
I love it. Fantastic. Let me say a massive thank you to my esteemed panel for this show. The wonderful Jamie Brown from the Daily Hotspur. Jay, thank you so much.
No, my pleasure. And hopefully next time we'll have a new centre-back. Hopefully that'll be Romero. And we'll have a couple more, as Lee said.
I'm hoping we're going to see those tweets, Jay. I'm hoping we're going to see them. My God, there's a lot of pressure on those buttons, definitely. I tell you. Let's hope, fingers crossed. And the wonderful Lee McQueen giving us a rousing speech to end with. Lee, plenty of hope, plenty of optimism. Hopefully, like I say, a big season to look forward to.
Absolutely. I'm back on a plane tomorrow. I'm going back to Spain. I'm back out there for a few weeks doing some work in and all that sort of stuff. I'll be back on the pod as well. And have the faith. Keep the faith. Yep. It's coming. It's coming, boys. It is coming. Come on.
Totally agree. Listen, guys, most importantly, keep safe, keep well. And as always, come on, you Spurs. Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.